A black and white image of sunlight filtering through a canopy of overhanging branches. Out of dense jungle undergrowth, a colourful tiger appears. Its head is then enclosed in a square, becoming the logo for Mandalay Entertainment. Small white letters on a black background. Mandalay Entertainment presents a Baltimore Pictures Mark Johnson production of a film directed by Mike Newell. Al Pacino and Johnny Depp star in Donnie Brasco. Also starring Michael Madsen, Bruno Kirby, James Russo and Anne Heche. Music by Patrick Doyle. Screenplay by Paul Attanasio, based on the book by Joseph D. Pistone, with Richard Woodley. The film opens with a black and white close-up image of a pair of dark eyes. Superimposed on the eyes, bright neon signs crisscross each other. Next, black and white still photographs show a cluster of men waiting around on the snow-dusted pavements. A black car arrives and men climb out. In the group, one face stands out, a middle-aged man with black hair, sideburns, and a saggy, careworn face. The watchful dark eyes belong to an earnest young man with sharp cheekbones, slicked back black hair and a moustache. There follows a moving colour image of the middle-aged man, then the dark eyes return, filling the screen. A montage of still images, a sign for the Spotlight Club, a bar's warm interior. Surveillance photos focus on a bulky younger man standing beside the middle-aged man, and there are further images of the watchful young man. A circle on one photo picks out a thin-faced man. More photos show the men by an outdoor pool. There are circles round some faces and crosses over others. More still images, a burning car, a sign for cocktails, the thin-faced man, and the young man again. The image of the young mustachioed man turns from black and white to colour. A superimposed caption reads, "The following is based on a true story. November 1978. The mustachioed man's dark eyes flick up. He's sitting at the bar of a dingy cafe browsing a newspaper. All the time he's furtively observing four of the men featured in the photographs, who are sitting around a table, drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes.
Because you're not saying things that mean anything.
This isn't even
it's not
even a debate.
How could you
it's
say
a better
something?
Automobile.
Ain't no way you could say to me a Lincoln is better than
I'm
a Cadillac.
I'm saying it.
Ain't no way.
A Lincoln is better than a Cadillac. It's a better automobile.
Forget about it. Cadillac got more acceleration. It's got more power. It's got better handling. It's got what? It's got more leg room for your legs. It's got more power.
You just said that.
Bingo.
What is it?
You just said that. More power.
You started to repeat yourself.
I said that.
You're getting seen up.
Got me so fucking angry. Forget what I said.
I'll tell you one thing. Mercedes got it all over both of them.
Lincoln's like driving a fucking water bed, for Christ's sakes.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
The middle-aged man, Lefty, glances at the young man at the bar, then turns to Nicky, sitting next to him at the table.
Who's that? Oh. The guy by the bar, with the mustache.
That's Dan. Dan the jeweler. Chili brother.
What jewel? Chili Four Eyes?
Not that fucking Chili Four Eyes. Chili, you know, from Queens, Chili.
He's a wise guy?
No, he's a connected guy.
Connected, huh? Mm. I had to think the layoff. He could lay it off for me.
You got something you got to lay off?
Ain't the question I got something. I'm just saying.
Oh, come on. If you got something you got to lay off?
Ain't the question. I'm just saying if I had a thing, he could lay it off. That's all.
All that fucking money you owe downtown? You have to lay off a fucking Prince truck.
Lefty looks over again.
Sonny's in love. I think fucking Lefty's in love.
I see you.
Don the jeweler pays and leaves the cafe. As he walks out across the road, burying his hands in the pockets of his brown leather jacket, he's photographed from a car parked nearby. Nighttime. In a high-rise apartment, a television rests on the floor. Don, in a white vest, lies on a bench press, lifting a heavy weight. He rests it down on the stand, sits up and marks a cross on a calendar. Later that night, he's making a call from a public phone box.
Hey, were you asleep?
Are you okay? Honey, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Go back to sleep, I'll call you tomorrow.
That's good, babe. Okay. I'm sorry. I gotta go back to sleep. I'm so tired.
All right. Hey.
Yeah. What?
Put the phone on your pillow. I want to listen to you breathe.
He stays in the phone box. The neon sign of a cafe bar nearby shines in the night. Steam rises from a funnel in the street. Daytime. Lefty, a shabby figure in his tinted glasses and fur-collared coat, walks past a window and peers inside. Spotting Don seated at the bar, he goes inside and sidles up to him.
You're Don the jeweler.
Don glances at the barman, who nods.
Yeah. There's some beautiful thing.
Lefty opens up a white cloth to reveal a ring. Don inspects it, then slides it back towards Lefty.
Why don't you give it to your wife?
My wife? How am I gonna give it to my wife? I ain't married.
You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, I got a girlfriend, yeah.
So marry her.
The barman smirks.
Hey, you for real? I'm asking you to middle a diamond for me here. Now all I want from my end is 8,000.
What I'm saying to you is you should give it to somebody that don't know any better, because that's a fugazi, all right?
That's a fugazi? How do you know it's a fugazi? You looked at it for 2 seconds.
What, it's a fake?
Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
Hey, pal. You want to see something?
Don shows him diamonds.
I'm gonna show you something. There you go. That's something? That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. But it's not my thing. What about this?
What do you want me to say? Go ahead, try and sell it. You want to be a Donsky. Give it a shot.
Donsky? You call me a Donsky? You know who you're talking to, my friend?
Hey, Left. Come on, have a spritzer.
You want to go embarrass yourself with this thing?
Embarrass myself? Hey, my family, my children, my mother can hold her head up in any neighborhood in the city when she walks down the block. See, in all the 5 boroughs, I'm known. Forget about it. I'm known all over the fucking world. Anybody ask, anybody about Lefty from Mulberry Street. Huh? You pissing up the wrong fucking tree, my friend.
I didn't mean no disrespect. It's a misunderstanding, right?
Here you go.
All right?
Sit down here.
Lefty blocks him, so he sits back down.
Well, you gonna walk out on me? You don't walk out on me. I walk out on you. You got a car?
I got a car.
Well, let's go get your car. Come on.
Hiding a smile, Don follows Lefty out. The barman nods.
Take care.
Don drives a red DeVille. Beside him, Lefty chain smokes. Don waves a hand in front of his face. Don opens a window and smoke pours out.
Put that window up. I'm gonna catch a draft.
You're getting fucking cancer over here.
You'll be all right.
Where are we going?
You a cop? Don't ask so many fucking questions.
How do you figure I'm gonna earn the kind of money I'm earning? I can't tell a fucking zircon. Huh?
There's good money in it.
What?
Why?
What, jewels?
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, if you know what you're doing, there is.
Yeah. Well, let's go to 23rd and 8th, then we'll find out if you know what you're doing.
In a glitzy strip club, Lefty and Don sit down with a blonde-haired owner.
You owe me $8,000.
No, hold on, wait. I gave you the diamond.
Left, who's this guy?
He says it's a fugazi.
What's a fugazi?
The diamond's a fugazi.
No, what is a fugazi?
Come on, you know.
Don't you tell me what I know.
You know what you did, pal.
One of you's gotta be wrong.
No, that's a Tiffany fucking diamond. Left, that is my wife's fucking diamond ring.
It's a fugazi, Left.
Hey, I don't know what your problem is.
Lefty smacks
him. Hey, Left, come
$8,000.
Let me talk to this fucking guy for a second. Just give me a half a fucking second with a guy, would you?
$8,000.
Lefty, why don't you go to the bar and have a drink? Let me talk to the guy for a minute. Come on.
Lefty nods thoughtfully and goes off, taking his ring with him.
Hey, I got a fucking black belt, pal. So you fuck.
Don grabs him by the hair, drags him backwards to the stage, and lays into him.
This guy is gonna fucking kill you. You understand what I'm saying? Now we got about 2 minutes to figure a way out of this thing.
I'm sorry.
You sorry? Shut the fuck up. Sorry ain't gonna do it.
I don't wanna die.
Yeah?
I don't wanna die.
What kind of car do you drive?
A Porsche.
And the keys. Fucking keys.
He hands the keys over.
All right. Whose car is it now?
It's Lefty's.
Lefty's left. All right, good. That's for the fucking drinks, pal.
Stuffing a banknote in his mouth, Don turns and shakes the keys at Lefty. The sleek silver Porsche Carrera speeds along, being towed by the red DeVille. Don drives and Lefty smokes in the passenger seat.
Why'd you pay for that drink, Don? Wise guy never pays for a drink.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Always on the out.
All right.
You scared that guy, though? My nudge? That cracks me up. I got 26 fucking hits under my belt. You're the one he's scared. Fuck. Pull over.
What?
Pull over. I gotta do something.
Right here?
Yeah, right here. Pull over.
All right.
Lefty dismantles the car's dashboard.
Come on, give me a hand with this now. Pull this out. Pull it.
Well, you're taking the whole fucking thing apart.
Yeah, yeah, it had nothing on the dash.
No, I knew your fucking thing.
There it is.
Hey.
I can go right up the back.
What are you doing down there? What the fuck are you doing?
Just feeling around here.
What do you think? You think I got a wire on my car?
Fuck!
Now, what do you think? You think I'm a fucking stupid?
Did I say that? Did I say you got a wire?
Say it to my face, you're gonna do this. You know what? None for none, but I think you owe me an apology.
Ain't the question. I lost the screwdriver here.
You lost a what?
The screwdriver fell down.
No, come on. You lost a screwdriver in my fucking stereo?
You could find it again. It's down there.
Night, the car's parked.
So you like the DeVille?
Oh, forget about it.
Yeah, I got the Fleetwood Brown.
Is that right?
Yeah.
With the velour?
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Are you married?
Nah. I got a girl out there in California.
That's good. She should stay in California. Keep your eye off your balls.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm always right. Wise guy's always right. Even when he's wrong, he's right. All the way up the line. Connected guy, the wise guy, the skipper, the boss.
Yeah, I know. I know that.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you know?
It's like, it's kind of like the army, like a chain of command.
The army? Ain't nothing like the army. The army is some guy you don't know sends you out to whack some other guy you don't know. Army.
Lefty regards Don suspiciously.
You mind checking with me tomorrow?
Yeah, all right.
Lefty nods, keeping his gaze on Don.
I don't know how the fuck you knew that ring was a fugazi.
Lefty shrugs and walks off.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, so long.
Now a typewriter stamps out its letters across the page. Special Agent Pistone reported contact with Benjamin Ruggiero, a.k.a. Lefty, a.k.a. Lefty Guns, a.k.a. Lefty Two Guns, a.k.a. Halfcock, a.k.a. Horsecock. This investigation was conducted by Special Agent Joseph D. Pistone. Daytime. Cars stream along a rain-swept street. Special Agent Joe Pistone, still in his undercover guise as Don the Jeweler, sits in his car parked outside a barber's shop. Inside the shop, Lefty's interrogating an old guy who's getting a shave.
Don the Jeweler is a good earner. He ain't a leech. He keeps to himself. He's a jeweler.
Where's he from, Joey?
Florida.
Florida.
He's a jewel guy.
Yeah, but Florida, where? Where Florida, the beach?
No, no, not the beach. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, wherever the fuck the Dodgers have spring training.
He's a stand-up guy.
I said I knew him, Left. I didn't say I fucked him.
Philly gets up and sticks his head out of the door.
Hey! Yo, come here!
Joe Pistone climbs out of his car.
Come here!
And enters the shop.
Hey. My friend Lefty's asking about you. Don't embarrass me, capiche?
Hey, I wouldn't do that to you. You know that, Joey. Come on.
Because if you do, one of us is gonna whack you out.
That's not good.
All right, Jimmy. Go back to your bed.
Yeah. Take care, kid.
Joe and Lefty leave. Philly watches them from the doorway. They cross the busy street.
Okay, when I introduce you, I'm gonna say, this is a friend of mine. That means you're a connected guy. Now, if I said instead, this is a friend of ours, that would mean you were a made guy. A capiche?
Yeah, friend of mine, friend of ours. Yeah. What do I call you, friend of ours?
Or... Keep your fucking mouth shut about me. Don't say, hey, Don. Now, you got a couple of fazoles. I got some things I gotta take.
Yeah. What do you want, 100?
Yeah, what are you doing? Wise guy don't carry his money in a wallet. Hey, wise guy carries money in a roll, like this. See? Bina on the outside. Like that. Come on.
Lefty takes Joe's money.
That mustache. You gotta get rid of that mustache, because that's against the rule. Get a pair of pants, will you?
This ain't a fucking rodeo. Dress like I dress.
They're photographed.
This is my family. More even than my own family.
Is that right? I don't got a family.
You don't got a family?
Nah, I'm an orphan. I grew up in an orphanage.
Ain't the question, though. You know, even if you had a family. If this is your family, then this is your family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Mingy, I'm freezing my balls off. What do we gotta be standing outside all day in a cold for?
Gotta show the flag.
Flag of fucking Antarctica.
Hey,
what's
Lefty?
Going on?
Hey, Lefty.
Hey, Lefty, what you say?
This is Donnie, a friend of mine.
How you doing?
The good news is my dick is now a popsicle.
Joe and Lefty join the cluster of guys as a man in red leather boots arrives.
Hey, Sonny.
Hey, Sonny, how you doing?
Sonny Red.
Sonny Red sees Joe and Lefty.
Who's this guy?
This is Donnie, a friend of mine.
Sonny Red's son, Bruno.
Well, just stand there and look dangerous, friend.
Oh, he does look dangerous, Donnie. You gonna make this week's vig? I hope so. Because I don't have to come looking for you. You hear me?
One of Lefty's crew, Sonny Black, a bulky man, watches with interest.
Come on, Bruno.
I just shit my pants. Mr. Boss, Sonny.
A large black car arrives and pulls up by the cluster of men. A man in a suit climbs out of the back and opens the front passenger door. A grey-haired man in an expensive suit and hat, with a cigar clamped in his mouth, gets out. The first man lays a camel hair coat round his shoulders. Lefty watches, agitated, as the boss and his entourage move through the crowd. In a crowded diner, Joe, wearing a flat cap, sits opposite fellow FBI agent Tim Curley in a booth. Joe's handed an envelope.
Okay, Joe, the Bureau wants your autograph.
What's that? You want to sign a thing?
All right, forget about it.
But wait.
Listen, by the way, they want you to shave the mustache. Regulations.
How do they even know about the mustache? Did you rat me out?
I didn't rat you out.
Joe's handed photos of him and Lefty.
Show and tell?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
What?
Oh, so does he. Who wants me to shave?
Ruggiero?
Yeah. Regulations.
Yeah. Joe hands the photos back.
You know something? I got him. I got my hooks in the guy.
In his apartment, Lefty sits in a red tracksuit watching a wildlife documentary on television.
Cloaked by the high grasses of the African savannah, the stalking cheetah moves stealthily towards his prey.
Lefty's eating a TV dinner. A young man answers the door to Joe.
How you doing?
So. Oh, you're here for my dad?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Danny.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. Merry Christmas.
Hey, thanks.
Come on in. Abdenya's watching TV. You met Tommy?
Yes, we met. Thank you.
Separated from the herd, the gazelle senses danger.
Benny, Danny's here.
Too late, the cheetah springs.
Benny loves animals.
Lefty points at the TV.
Hey, you see that?
I'll be in the kitchen if you need me.
Hunter and hunted, predator and prey, the endless cycle of nature repeated
I
once
brought
again.
This pie for you. It's a little crispy.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Lefty fetches an envelope from under the Christmas tree.
Hey, I'm sorry, Lef, but I'm in a little bit of a rush here, you know? So,
Merry Christmas.
Hey, thank you. That's really nice.
Both presents contain cash.
Wow, my own, no me. Look at this. Very generous of you, Donnie. Thank you.
A hug.
Good boy.
All right, so, happy holidays.
Where you going?
Huh?
I thought you was an orphan.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Left, I don't want to spoil your day.
Come on. Hey, no man of mine's going to be alone on Christmas. Come on in here.
Later in the kitchen.
You think I cook like them Goombas in Brooklyn? All they know is Maragot. 100 years they're going to be eating Maragot. You never ate Coco Van, huh?
Nah.
Yeah. Can of collagen, can of tomatoes.
He pours both into a pan.
Punch of salt.
Punch?
Punch. Punch of salt.
Punch or pinch?
Punch. Not pinch. What did I say? I said pinch.
Nah, you said punch.
Sometimes you don't make no fucking sense, Donnie.
He flings the salt over his shoulder.
All right.
Gotta listen in.
Oh, no. I can't cook special like Benny.
Shut up, man. Forget about it. Wherever you go, the best cooks are men. On Mars, the best cooks are going to be men. That's a fact. Oh, Donnie. Where do you taste this cocoa, man?
It'll melt in your mouth. Like Holy Communion.
It catches fire.
What the fuck is it? Annette.
Annette flaps at it with her apron and puts a lid on it. Later, dinner's served.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Annette.
Sure thing.
She's a good woman, Annette. One board, that's enough for anyone.
Hey, Pop, I'm going out for a couple hours, okay?
Lefty glances moodily at his watch.
And Merry Christmas. Don, take care.
Yeah, you too. Take it easy.
Keeping his eyes down, Lefty lights a cigarette.
My own fucking son's a junkie, can you believe it?
What are you gonna do? Give him a smack in the mouth once in a while, you know?
Hey, I got bruises on my hands. You don't know the worries I got, Donnie. A woman like Annette, I can't do right by her. I ain't got $3 in my pocket. I put a bet on a horse, that horse don't do what it's supposed to do. Like every fucking thing else in my life. I got cancer to prick. My ex-wife lives in this building. Can you believe it? I run into her in the elevator. I gotta have 3 spritzes afterward just to calm down after I see her.
What are you talking about, cancer to prick?
Yeah, it's cancer to prick. Yeah, you didn't know that? I'm in the medical books for that. I got this boat, too, this Betchel. 50-foot Betchel with twin Chryslers. I had to get rid of it. The money I owe Sonny Redden. Like said, the vig alone is $3,000 a week.
Who's that guy with him?
Oh, they got Bruno. That's his son.
Well, I like to put a dent in that guy's head.
No, you don't do that, Donnie. You don't touch him.
No, I know. I'm saying I wish. I wish I could, you know.
You wish. Guy like you doesn't touch a maid guy.
Lefty puts his glass down.
You know what I did yesterday? I went in front of all the skippers. The cocksucker Sonny Red, all of them. I went on a record with you. You know what that means?
I think I do.
You do? You ain't got no fucking idea, my friend. Nobody can touch you now. I'm your man. Jesus Christ couldn't touch you. Because I represent you. So, keep your nose clean, be a good earner, follow the rules, and who knows, maybe one day when they open the books, you get straightened out. Become a wise guy, a made guy. Come on, lift your glass.
They both lift their glasses.
I die with you, Donnie. Anything happens, I'm responsible. All right?
All right, salute.
Salute.
Joe leaves.
All right, now.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was excellent.
You think you can spot me a couple of this?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. I'll get back to you.
You see.
Now, you got it here.
Lefty takes it out of the envelope he gave to Joe.
I'll get back to you on this.
Yeah.
Believe me. Okay. Call me tomorrow,
all right? All right.
Joe raises a hand as the door slams shut. It's getting dark. Traffic flows over the Brooklyn Bridge. As Joe speeds along, the tall struts of the suspension bridge flash by. He looks at his watch anxiously. Night has fallen as he pulls up in the driveway of his house, which is festooned with Christmas lights and decorations. Carrying 2 enormous bags of presents, he enters the house.
Hello.
His wife, with curly blonde hair, is washing dishes at the sink. She stiffens as she hears him arrive, but does not turn round. Glancing nervously at her, Joe lays the bags down, puts on a Father Christmas hat, and approaches her.
Look what the rain did, Vanko.
Merry Christmas.
He kisses her and rubs her back.
I was working. Nothing I could do.
Working. Who works Christmas Day, Joe?
I do. Where's the kids?
Well, they couldn't wait anymore.
He drinks some juice.
Well, that's nice. Christmas, they can't wait up for their father.
Is that your way of saying you're sorry?
Hey, no, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't need to know. The girls need to know. Only be sure to introduce yourself. They might think you're the Fuller Brush Man.
Oh, man. You know, if you had any idea what I was doing today...
No, I don't have an idea. Because you don't tell me.
Yeah,
remember?
That's, well, that's right, because it's for your own protection.
My As if any of this is for me.
Hey, you're getting the checks, right?
Yeah, I'm getting the checks.
Good. Then don't say it like it's nothing, because it's not nothing.
It's not nothing, but it's not a husband.
A lot of women would disagree with you.
Oh. Is that what you do with all your time? Conduct polls with all your women?
But I'm not even going to dignify that. Jesus Christ, 7 days a week I'm out there busting my ass, and this is the kind of shit I come home to.
You said it was going to be 3 months. It's going on 2 years.
How do you find anything in here? You got cereal on 3 different shelves. cereal's over here. Got cereal over here. Put stuff away for once. It's my job. Quit
what
my
about
job.
What about my job, Joe? Christmas Day, you don't show up, so Mommy puts on the Santa suit. Mommy hangs the lights. Mommy carves the roast.
You just leave it alone.
Joseph.
You just leave it alone.
It would be so much easier if you told me what goes
break.
On with these guys. Just what
just
you do.
Up,
just
please.
Something. Just
leave
wait.
Me
go.
Alone.
Tight-lipped, she strides past her husband and crosses back over to the sink, where she looks around for something.
Terry and Carrie. I'm at my mother's. Why don't you go pick them up?
Where's Sherry?
She searches in a drawer.
Sherry? Sherry is with her boyfriend.
What?
She's got a boyfriend.
Since when does Sherry have a boyfriend?
It's 12, Joe.
I didn't okay this, Maggie.
You okay it? What do you think? You can just drop out of the
hey,
sky like out of the
game. I am the husband, Maggie. I'm the father.
The
I put foot on that
I'm
table.
I'm the friggin' husband.
What do I get for Christmas, huh? Empty fucking house?
She turns on him.
I'm here.
He stares mournfully at her.
I wanted to be alone with you.
A short time later, Joe and Maggie are kissing hungrily. They stagger back into the Christmas tree, then crawl backwards up the stairs, Joe on top of her. Reaching the top of the stairs, she tears open her cardigan and they kiss with manic urgency, Joe pushing Maggie roughly onto her back. Later they lie in bed together. Maggie runs a finger over Joe's top lip.
What happened to your stash?
To be. They made me shave it off, can you believe that? Yeah.
It's the only thing I liked about this job.
So Sherry got a boyfriend, huh?
Yeah, she does. Nice kid. He's so nice. He's on the wrestling team.
Oh, I'll bet he's on the wrestling team.
Carrie's doing the catechism. So sweet.
And the swimming. Coach says he's never seen nothing like it. A meet Saturday.
Joe lies with his eyes closed.
Man, though, we'll see.
He strokes her arm with his thumb. Maggie studies his face and takes a deep breath.
You know that I wouldn't do this to you if I didn't think you could handle it.
I'm not worried about me, Joe.
He draws her close to him so that she rests her head on his shoulder, her face buried in his neck. Joe stares up at the ceiling. Joe's three daughters are seated round the breakfast table. Joe dishes out scrambled egg to one, whose eyes are glued to the television, taking no notice of Joe as he bangs the wooden spoon on her plate. He does likewise with the youngest girl.
All right. What's going on, kids? Am I getting the silent treatment? Huh?
Looking round the table, he carries the empty pan back to the sink.
I'll make a bet with you. I'll bet you it's $20 that you can't get through this entire meal without saying three words. All right?
You lose.
Joe stares at the girl who spoke, then looks to the girl sitting opposite him.
What'd she say?
Then appeals to the youngest girl.
What did she say?
Joe, back in the role of Donnie Brasco, drives along with Lefty, who's studying the New York Post with the headline, Rubout, It Was His Last Supper.
You didn't see the paper? How come you didn't see the paper every fucking morning? You're reading the paper. What were you reading this morning? Look at this. Oh, fuck. Can you believe this? Oh, the boss gets whacked. The fucking boss. You never hear from the boss until he gets whacked. And then your whole life gets turned around.
Hey, Lef, you want to tell me where we're going?
I got sent for.
So what does that mean, you got sent for?
What does that mean? What do you think it means?
You don't want to go? You want me to turn around? I'll turn around.
What are you going to do, take a left off the fucking bridge?
Oh, come on, not here. I'm saying after the bridge.
No, I got to go. You get sent for, you go. Sonny sent for me. I'm sick with this.
You got sent for by Sonny Red?
Did I say Sonny Red? Not Sonny Red. Sonny Black. Donnie, what are you doing? What are you doing with that? Put the fuck... Donnie, you want to kill me with that draft?
Joe rolls the window back up.
Hey, Lef, Sonny Black is your friend. What's the big deal?
What friend? Ain't the question, friend.
the whole time Sonny Black's in the can. The whole time. He's got a family. He's got a mistress. He's got a mistress for the mistress. I watched out for all of them. Me, I was the only one. Nobody else gave a fuck. 200 Fazzoles, week in, week out.
Boom, boom. So you took care of Sonny Black. What are you worried about then?
Donnie, you know, sometimes I think in that orphanage, they dropped you on your fucking head.
How am I supposed to know? You don't explain it to me.
You think I don't know how a hit gets set up? You think I don't know that? You know what I know? How many times I've been on the other end of that fucking phone? 26 times.
Right, but you just got done saying you and Sonny Black are friends.
Donnie,
so,
I got sent for. In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does it.
The red DeVille pulls up at the side of a quiet road opposite a building on the corner with a red-painted brick and grey flagstone facade. A face peers out of a barred window. Lefty climbs out of the car, then leans back in for a last word to Joe.
Anything should happen to me, your Annette gets the car.
He heads towards the building on the corner. Sitting in the car, Joe removes his sunglasses and squints, watching Lefty go inside. Lefty enters a dingy bar, where Nicky's playing cards with Paulie, the thin-faced man.
Love on the rocks.
Love on the rocks.
Spritz a left.
All right, wait a minute.
Look at this hand. This ain't a hand, dude. This is a fucking deformed creature from the Black fucking Lagoon's claw I got here.
Hey,
Lefty reaches their table. Joe enters. When Lefty sees him, he nods questioningly. Joe shrugs.
You throwing it down? No. Gin. Love on the rocks ain't no surprise. Paulie, that ain't gin.
Ain't no fucking surprise neither.
What are you talking about? It's gin.
What are you talking about? You got 2 sevens.
I had 3 sevens.
Paulie.
Nicky, I had 3 sevens. I know I had 3 sevens. Don't start this shit now, huh?
You know you had 3 sevens? You don't have 3 sevens.
I had 3 sevens.
I'll tell you what, from now on, I'll just deal out the cards and you say, Jim, what do you feel like?
The fucking boots. 200 in action, and what do we got? 5?
We're taking a beating again this week, Sonny.
Let's go for a ride.
I got a new car.
Sonny drives his new Mercedes, Paulie, Nicky, and Joe in the back. Lefty, in the front, looks at Joe in the mirror.
Can you believe the ride on this car?
Oh, something about the boss, huh?
We all gotta go sometime.
I got a date out in Jersey tonight.
Which broad is this?
The one from the calendar. Miss Penzoil, air filter, 1978.
What's he doing looking in your mirror?
What are you doing over there, Left? What's it look like I'm doing? Checking my lipstick.
At an airport, the men pile out of the car. Sonny lays an arm around Lefty's shoulders.
What are we doing here, Sonny? We climbing something or what?
No.
Where are you? Wait in the car.
What?
Watch the car.
Shooting Joe a stern look, Paulie follows the others. Joe frowns and returns to the Mercedes, pausing to glance back with nervous restlessness at the men. The men enter a dark warehouse. The door slams shut behind them. After a moment in pitch blackness, the lights go on, and Lefty finds himself face to face with a lion in a cage.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, shit!
Whoa! Oh, Christ, I think I shit my pants. What is this?
I'm supposed to go to an animal trainer somewhere, and I don't fuck you.
Hey, Lefty, I think he likes you. Either that or he's just hungry.
What's he got to do with me? Sonny, what is this?
It's for you.
For me?
I know how you feel about animals. It's a gift from me.
It's for me?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
I got the power. Now you're under me.
What do you mean you got the power?
Sonny got up.
What, you got up? Hey.
Rusty's gonna run the whole thing from the can. Sonny Red's got Little Italy. I got Brooklyn.
That's why you said for me.
Sonny shrugs innocently.
Well, yeah. Why? What'd you think? He was gonna get whacked?
Lefty thought he was gonna get whacked.
Yeah. Congratulations. Come here.
Oh, man.
Lefty hugs Sonny.
Good stuff.
Nighttime, Joe's car is parked outside a burger bar. Joe and Lefty feed meat to the lion inside the car through the partly opened window.
Sonny Black, they make. Skip. I ain't a mutt. 30 years busting my hump. For what? A line. I'm like the invisible fucking man in this thing.
But 5 hours ago, you thought you was gonna get whacked, you know?
Hey, Donnie, did I say I was gonna get whacked?
Not in so many words, you know, but...
I don't understand you, darling. How many words does it take?
You're right, I misunderstood.
30 years I'm earning. Any work to be done, call Lefty. I never complain. 26 guys I clipped. Do I get upped? No, they pass me by. Sonny Black gets upped. I don't get fucking upped.
Sonny was probably in a whacking a boss.
Of course he was in our whacking a boss.
Lefty shakes his head.
Whacking a boss. Another thing I get left out of.
What?
I tell you what. Look at that. I wish I had that boat again. That bedroom. Man, I wish I had that boat. I get in my car with a net. I drive down to the pier. I get on that boat and I go. I go. East, west, north, south. Nobody ever find me. Look at this thing. It's a fucking insult.
In a busy club, three Afro-haired women sing on a stage. Sonny Black weaves through the crowd on the dance floor, filling a woman's glass with champagne as he passes. Nikki and Joe are dancing with pretty blondes. Paulie drags his blonde roughly by the arm. Lefty sits at the bar. Now the guys, wearing balaclavas, run through a warehouse to join more of their crew, beating up the driver of a parked lorry. They throw the driver down onto the tarmac. Sonny rips off his balaclava and climbs up onto the lorry as it motors away. Back at the club, Nikki strikes poses on the dance floor. One girl in a shimmering dress does a spin. FBI agent Curly slides a newspaper across the table to Joe, who takes out of it a dictaphone, which he slips into his pocket. A typewriter rattles out, and Benny Ruggiero is videotaped and recorded by special agent. In the FBI office, Lefty's face features on a wall chart below Sonny's in the hierarchy. Back in the club, Lefty shambles across the dance floor, mouthing words. The typewriter continues, that vending machines and jukeboxes. Joe does press-ups. Sonny Black and his guys load rails of suits into the back of a truck. More typed reports. A hot sandwich truck route for deliveries too. Joe helps the guys load the truck. Sonny gives a bound and gagged man a playful slap, and the truck races out of the warehouse. Back at the club, another mobster dances with another identikit blonde. In a bathroom, Joe pulls a dictaphone out of a special holder encasing his shin and takes out the tape. Joe slides the tape across a diner table and Agent Curly pockets it. The typewriter, to move cocaine and marijuana from. Sonny dances, a bottle in each hand, enjoying the spectacle of two of the blondes dancing on the stage. Agent Curly studies the complex wall chart. In a repair workshop, Paulie, Lefty and Joe stand by as Sonny beats a man. Sonny pulls a gun, Lefty and Paulie step in. Joe, as Donnie again, watches from the sidelines. Sonny keeps glancing back menacingly as he's led away, then whips round. Paulie winces, Lefty twitches and looks forlorn as Sonny finishes the man off and walks away. Joe stares at the body as he follows the guys out. Sonny drives his Mercedes across a bridge towards the heart of the city, skyscrapers and neon signs glittering against the night sky. In the front passenger seat, Nikki jiggles to the music. Now in another buzzing nightclub, flooded with pink light, the dance floor is reflected on the mirrored walls. Sonny Black leads the guys in a line through the club.
Hey, Sonny.
Sonny Black goes to Sonny Red's table and shakes his hand.
Good thing. Bobby, give Sonny a good take. And a bottle of your best on me.
You get him a Modelo while you're at it.
All the people on Sonny Red's table laugh appreciatively, Bruno included. Sonny Black and his crew stare at them, then sit down, affecting casual indifference. Sonny Black lingers, flashing Sonny Red an unnervingly broad smile, before sitting down with his cronies. Sunny Red stares at them. Wearing a flat cap and light-coloured jacket, Joe enters a diner and makes his way over to a table where Curly and a man in a suit are waiting for him.
What's up, Curly?
Hey, how's it going? This is Dean Blanford. He's up from Washington.
Joe.
Donnie.
Call me Donnie. I don't want to get confused.
I know what you mean, pal. Sometimes you get so busy, even I forget my own name.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? Mm. Sorry to cash checks.
Dean's unamused.
Dean's up from Washington.
Yeah, you said that part already. What's next?
You know, now that the operation's beginning to bear fruit, headquarters decided to transfer me up to Sin City here.
What for? You want to keep an eye on me or something?
No, to make sure you receive the proper support.
Oh, the proper support.
And to make sure that in all the hubbub, there are no missed opportunities.
Missed opportunities like what?
Well, we have an agent down in Miami. Goes by the name of Richie Gatso.
Miami?
His operation is potentially very sweet. Problem is, it's starting to languish right now, and it needs jump-starting. Now, the Bureau would like you to go down there and see if you could interest some of your mob friends. Now, if you vouch for Richie Gatso...
I ain't gonna vouch for nobody I don't know.
Gee, I was hoping that we'd get off on the right foot here.
Look, what's the big deal? You just go down and vouch for the guy. Sit in the sun for a week.
Hey, look, if I vouch for the guy, I could wind up dead.
So could he. You know, you're not the only one out there risking your life, bud.
I'll let you know.
He gets up and leaves the diner.
He'll let us know.
At a Japanese restaurant.
Irashaimase.
Irashaimase. Good evening. How many?
Five.
Dozo, this way.
My wife says it's very in Japanese. She read about it in Parade magazine. Very, very big man.
Dozo, please.
Joe looks uneasy.
Have a seat. Take off shoes. Dozo. Please.
Never.
The maitre d' turns to Joe.
Please, take off shoes.
Are you kidding me? Take off your pants. What the fuck is that?
I'm afraid it's necessary. It's a Japanese tradition.
Is that right? Well, forget about it. I ain't doing it.
I'm afraid it's necessary.
Forget it. I ain't taking my fucking shoes off.
Hey, Donnie.
What?
When in Rome.
Hey, Nicky. Who won the fucking war? Huh?
War? What war?
Oh, he did. You want to fight it again? Take off your shoes.
I ain't gonna do it.
Daddy, take your shoes off.
My shoes off. What?
I want to eat sometime tonight. And take off your shoes, I'm gonna chop off your fucking feet.
Sonny, what do you want me to do? You want me to take orders from a fucking Jap? Listen, I had to grow up in an orphanage because my old man was killed down there in Okinawa, all right? You think I'm gonna take my shoes off for this fucking prick? No, I ain't doing it.
Sonny puts his shoes back on and the others follow suit.
I'm afraid it's necessary.
Listen, my friend's not gonna take off his shoes there, Mr. Moto.
Afraid it's necessary.
Neither are the rest of us, okay? So why don't you just give us a table before I smack you?
You must take off your shoes.
Sonny grabs the maitre d' and hustles him into a bathroom where he and the guys give him a vicious beating. Joe stands by and watches. Lefty guards the door as people leave the restaurant. Sonny, Nicky and Paulie beat the maitre d' to a bloody pulp. Joe steps in to stop the beating and help the maitre d' to his feet. The maitre d' smacks Joe in the face. Joe starts kicking and punching him too. Paulie picks up the bin and slams the maitre d' across the back.
Get the fucking move! Don't you move, you fuck! Don't you fucking move!
His face twisted into a mask of aggression, Joe stares down at the bruised and bloodied maitre d'. Back in his apartment, Joe sits on the bed and takes the dictaphone out of his shin holster. Opening and closing his bruised fist, he hits play and listens to the recording, his expression clouding. In the bar, their headquarters, Lefty's hitting the top of a parking meter on a table with a hammer, while the other guys are doing business.
Yeah, Cigars. Off the block, they sell them for $50 a box. You can sell for $25.
You give two or three of those to a broad, forget about it. She'll do anything you want.
Okay. She'd give three Quaaludes to Brenda. Maybe she'd cook.
I doubt it.
One guy presses a voice box to his throat.
So what do you got in the street? 100 grand.
That should be 250 by the end of the year.
Sonny, I get these real cheap and I got a guy we can use. I think we
will you fucking stop that? How else am I supposed to open this? Open sesame! A score's a score.
Boss, what do I got here? It's 100 pairs.
Sonny swipes the cigars off the table.
This Sonny Red's got $1 million a month with his trucks in Jersey. What do I get? Steak knives and parking meters.
We ought to hijack an oil tanker. There's a lot of money in oil.
Hey, you know something? There's a guy I know down in Florida. He says it's fucking wide open down there.
Yeah? Yeah, where Florida?
Florida, the beach.
The oil economy's moving down there. They call it the Sun Belt.
Economy's got to be good for us to make any kind of real money.
What's the matter? You don't think they got their own wise guys in Florida?
Florida and Arizona because of the energy crisis. I heard a whole conversation on the Long John Neble show.
Problem up here is you got 3,000 wise guys all chasing the same fucking nickel.
You're from there down there, Florida, huh, Donnie?
A lot of parking meters down in Florida.
Sonny smacks Nicky on the nose. Everyone in the bar stares at Sonny, shocked, as he lumbers back round to the table.
You guys think this is funny, huh? I'm the skipper now. I got an answer! 50 grand a month. I kick up to Rusty every month! You know, one day I'm gonna die. I'm gonna be here in the same fucking room. All these same fucking guys. Talking about the same fucking scams! They never amount to nothing!
He furiously upturns the table, spilling its contents everywhere, then jumps up and heads for the exit.
Now that's how I'll know that I've been sent to fucking hell. Joe, give these humps another drink, it's all they're good for.
The men stare after Sonny as he leaves the bar. Lefty and Joe exchange a look. Paulie breaks the stunned silence.
I'll tell you right now, you better start earning or somebody's gonna get clipped.
A road amid a stream of nocturnal traffic.
Why did you inject that, Donnie, with Florida?
What are you talking about? I didn't inject nothing.
You injected that, Donnie. Don't tell me no. I know you. You don't say nothing unless there's a reason for it.
I was making conversation with a guy.
All right, Mr. Smart Conversation, you tell me, what happens if Sonny Black decides he wants to go to Florida?
Oh, my God. Who said he's gonna go to Florida?
Don't think you could pull the wood over my eyes. Donnie, I see you siding up to Sonny Black with my eyes. I'm looking at you. You're doing it. Come on.
I ain't siding up to Sonny Black.
He goes to Florida. You're responsible. And I'm responsible because I represent you.
Left, come on. I was just bullshitting around.
You think you can trust Sonny Black? You can't trust Sonny Black. Sonny Black is one big fat fucking snake in the...
grass. Snake in the grass.
You can't say that now. Sonny Black is a skipper. You don't open your fucking mouth about him.
FD. This fucking guy Richie calls me up. He says, look, I'm getting hassled by a couple of half-assed wise guys. So he's looking for a partner, you know, to give him a little peace of mind. He's got this nightclub to run down there.
You got a nightclub?
Yeah. Got a singles bar. It's near the beach.
I got two grenades in my house now. I blow up all Mulberry Street before I give you up. You understand? I don't know what I would do if you did something wrong.
The typewriter. S.A. Pistone requests 5 first-class airline tickets round-trip to Miami. In Florida, colourful signs advertise Sun City's apartments, rooms, pool halls and restaurants. The guys bask in the sun on the beach, while bikini-clad girls rub lotion into their bronze skin. Lefty sits in the shade. The guys mess around in the pool and whiz down water chutes, while Lefty watches from the edge. The guys pose for a photo with someone in a fluffy crocodile suit, then Lefty poses on his own with the crocodile. Greyhounds gallop round a track as the guys urge them on. The guys play tennis, the girls hanging around. Paulie jumps for a smash, which Nicky misses, sparking a row. Nicky shoves Paulie, who climbs over the net to confront him. While Lefty is dozing on the beach, the guys bury him under a pile of sand. When he wakes up, they leg it.
Oh, shit!
shit! He lived!
Oh, fuck you!
Joe's waiting impatiently outside a club.
Jesus Christ.
He wanders back to Lefty waiting by the car.
Half out. Where is this guy?
Well, I don't know, Lefty.
A flashy blue sports car speeds round the corner into the car park.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
The car pulls up and a lanky guy in a red shirt climbs out.
Don, huh? You brought the cavalry, huh? Where'd you guys up?
Lefty shuns his hand.
How you doing? How you doing? Oops. Late. So, guess you guys got a chance to work on your suntans out here, huh?
Lefty stares, open-mouthed, as Richie strides inside the dingy, run-down King's Court Club and behind the bar to fix a drink. Joe and Lefty follow him inside uncertainly.
King's Court, eh? Where every man is a king. Now wait until you get a load of the banquet room you're gonna plots.
Donnie.
Huh?
Ask him why this place is such a fucking dump. Donnie.
He wants to know why it's such a dump, Richie.
I had to shut the doors. The ladies' bums had their hands in my pockets. You know, $200 for this, $300 for that. Hey, I got a wife does that. You know what I mean, huh?
Ask him to leave, Donnie.
Richie, step outside, take a look at the car.
Sure.
All right?
Yeah, good. Yeah, sure.
Richie heads outside.
What kind of a man is a Malvo? He won't provide for his own wife.
I'm telling you, Lef, this guy's all right.
You vouch for him.
Joe flounders a little.
I'm saying, when I knew him before, he was all
right.
You vouch
for the guy, Don.
Look, I'm just making an introduction, Lefty. You gotta make the decision about the joint.
Lefty ambles through the place, inspecting it carefully.
This would be something, you know. We had my own lounge down here. Me and you. You know?
What about Sonny?
Imagine Sonny Black operating down here. The way he is. Sonny Black belongs in Brooklyn.
Well, I guess if everything worked out, send a few fuzzles up there, no?
Yeah. 30 years I'm busting my hump. What do I got? Even a dog gets a warm piece of the sidewalk. I ought to show something for what I did. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
This ain't New York down here. New York with the politics, all the old beefs and the grudges. Down here, a guy like me could sit down with the boss. You know what I'm saying? Get out from under. Be a free agent again. I'm telling you, Donnie. Nothing but right.
Joe nods with an affectionate smile. Nighttime, Joe pulls up outside the Seven Seas Motel and climbs out of his car. He goes up to the first level walkway, knocks on the window of one room, and waits by the door. Joe's let into the room just as a Cadillac pulls up outside. Inside the motel room, Joe's with a cluster of FBI agents, including Richie Gazzo, Curly, and Dean Blandford.
Lefty wants the Santo Traficante for permission to operate down here. You gotta get me a boat.
We can't afford that kind of money. What kind of a boat?
What kind of boat? I don't know. Like a 70-footer. You just want to take him out for the day.
Wait, you're talking $6,000 a day here, Joe.
Hey, Santo Traficante is the boss of Florida. He sits on the fucking commission. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
70-foot boat?
It's up to 80, actually. We just picked up Lefty on a wiretap talking to one of Traficante's guys.
We would like to go over here, you know, to make the loan sharking.
Hey, Joe, can I get some
coffee? We can't do it with that. Hey, this is important! Okay.
90, actually.
All right, I did what you asked. I came down here, I vouched for this fucking guy. So what, I'm gonna take Santo Traficante out in a rubber ducky now, or what?
We're gonna have to wash your mouth out, bud.
Does Sally Pinkglass report to Nikki or Nikki Cigars?
Nikki Glasses.
Nikki Glasses?
Glasses.
Look, as I was saying here, we've got to try to fold Sonny into the Rico.
Hey, I need a boat for this fucking sit-down, would you?
I'm a Mormon, mister. Now clean it up.
Joe, I think you got a malfunction on your tape recorder. I'm not getting anything here.
Joe gets up, takes the dictaphone from a technician, and throws it furiously against the wall. Seething, he locks eyes with Dean for an instant, then picks up his mug and strides out of the room. Dean, Richie, and Curly form a huddle.
I'm worried. He's getting strung out.
We get what we want. Fuck him.
In another room...
There it is.
Nicky's buying cocaine from a pair of white-suited dealers.
Just move on behind. Nice and slow. Nice and slow. Watch your counter, my friend. Go ahead. Go there, no bullshit.
They count the cash.
Wait, bueno?
And nod to him.
How's you doing business with your caballeros?
Nicky returns to his Cadillac.
Oh, Columbia, the gem of the ocean. The home of the brave and the free.
Nicky climbs into his car and drives off, just as Joe comes out and hurries down the steps. They clock each other.
Fuck.
Fuck.
In bright winter sunshine, Maggie Pistone is clearing the snow heaped up in her driveway. She runs inside, where her daughters are getting ready to go out, and answers the phone. It's Joe, ringing from a call box in Florida.
I'm in Florida.
What are you doing in Florida?
Oh, I don't know. I'm hunting for turtles. What do you think I'm doing in Florida? I mean, I'm working.
It's 12 degrees here. Excuse me, you're wearing this coat.
Young lady, you are wearing this coat.
Bitch.
What did you call me?
Hey, is
what did you right? What if I said no, Joe? Would it make any difference?
Nah, I guess not.
I guess not, so don't ask me. Come on, stand up.
By the pool.
John Wayne dead. Nation mourns.
Sonny Black dumps down his newspaper, stands, and strips off his shirt.
How can John Wayne die?
Fucking Indians got
him. Old-fashioned family man. Ruled with an iron hand. Look at that.
Spotting Joe talking on the phone, Lefty gets up from his sun lounger and goes off. Nicky watches him, as does Sonny, sitting on the edge of the pool.
Maggie, let me talk to Carrie. I want to talk to her about the communion.
Oh, my God, Joe, she doesn't want to do it.
What do you mean she doesn't want to do it? She ain't got no choice.
You are wearing this coat.
Put her on the phone, Maggie. I don't know when I'm going to have another chance to call. Does she know not to bite the wafer?
I don't know. She's acting out or something.
Yeah. All right, look, I'll be Thank back you. Next week. Maggie, I promise I'll get back for her communion.
Don't start in with your sister. Don't start. Joe, I got to go.
Huh? I love you. Oh, shit.
Who was that on the phone? Richie?
No, what did he do? What did Sonny say?
You told Sonny about the club.
No, I thought you did.
No, just shut up about it. Call Richie.
All right.
Lefty waits a little anxiously as Joe makes the call. Down by the pool, Sonny's laughing with one of his moles when his gaze alights momentarily on the men by the phone. Later, Joe and Lefty are in a gift shop.
A guy like Santo Trafficante. I mean, he's been around. Since the mustache piece, this guy, you gotta respect the man. Donnie, you get that boat yet?
Nah, I'm working on it.
Don, don't tell me no. You gotta get that boat. Macho. I reached out already. His man says to me, Lefty, he loves boats. I told him 100-foot boat. I'm on the fucking clothesline now.
All right, I told you, I'm working on it.
Don't disappoint me again, Donnie, please.
Disappoint you again? Since when did I disappoint you?
Lefty picks a card, saying from one friend to another.
Yeah. That's what we call each other.
Right. Friend of mine, friend of ours. Yeah. Good.
But there's the double mean. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A boss appreciates a thing like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like the irony of it.
Yeah, irony. All right, forget about it. You put a bean inside here, then he knows these are men of men. You see, Don, if I work out the strategy like that, now you gotta hold up your end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
You got to hold up your end, you know what I'm saying? How much is this? Donnie, you got
something
on your phone?
Joe and two FBI technicians are listening back to the tape.
Yeah.
You're doing an amazing job, you know.
What?
I mean, we all think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, for crying out loud. Fuck.
One spills his beer.
Hey, can I ask you something?
What?
What's forget about it? What is it?
Forget about it. It's like, if you agree with someone, you know, like Raquel Welch is one great piece of ass, forget about it. But then, if you disagree, like a Lincoln is better than a Cadillac, forget about it, you know? But then, it's also like if something is the greatest thing in the world, like Mingo's peppers, forget about it, you know? But it's also like saying go to hell, too. Like, you know, like, Hey, Bully, you got a one-inch pecker, and Bully says, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Bully!
Forget about it.
Sometimes it just means forget about it.
All right. Thank you very much. I got it.
Let me tell you something. I don't get this boat for Lefty. What?
Forget about it?
Fucking forget about it.
Say, you know that sting operation? What do you call it? Where the agents dress up like Arabs and try to bribe congressmen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got a boat down here.
What?
Abscam.
That's right. It's Abscam.
Hey, Richie, what are you trying to get me killed with that fucking suit?
What?
Fucking car. Purple fucking car. Hey. Don't say the word plot, you understand?
Yeah.
Joe and Richie carry their luggage along the quayside, and Lefty welcomes them on board the big luxury boat called the Left Hand. Lefty nervously checks his watch, and as they make their way to the stern, he spots two cars arriving on the quayside. Lefty scurries back to greet the party as they step out of their cars. Joe stays by him.
Mr. Trapper Canny, this is Lefty, a friend of ours.
I don't know what to say. To me, this is like a great moment in my life. It's like meeting Mickey Mantle. That's the boat I arranged for you, Mr. Traficante. It's got everything. Got a full bar, any kind of music you want. You want to make a telephone, it's got telephones. Any questions, you ask me.
Where's Sonny Black?
Sonny Black?
Yeah.
Everybody out. Come on, baby.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Sonny, Nikki, and Paulie arrive with their girls.
You brought the fam. Hey, Paul.
Nice boat.
You say,
Paulie? Where's Gilligan?
That's what I call a boat.
Yeah.
Lighting a cigarette, Sonny hands Lefty a book of matches from King's Court. Lefty stares dolefully after Sonny as he joins the group. The boat is out on the shimmering water. Nikki comes up onto the deck in the stern of the boat, Paulie in tow. The girls gather round him as Nikki holds aloft a live fish. They recoil, shrieking, as he thrusts the waggling fish in their faces. Sonny Black joins Mr. Trafficante and his cronies inside. Standing dejectedly on the sidelines, Lefty watches the meeting through the glass. His face fixed in a bitter scowl, he turns away to look out to sea. He pulls out the card, takes it from the envelope, removes the $100 bill he'd slipped inside, and pockets it. He tears up the card and throws the pieces overboard. The party's in full swing on the deck, the guys dancing with their scantily clad moles. Smoking a cigar and sipping champagne, Mr. Trafficante sits in a jacuzzi with three topless girls. Other girls in bikinis mill and dance around. Joe finds Lefty sitting in the stern.
I don't even want to look at you. You know what about what the bow is?
What do I do now?
You stabbed the wrong fucking guy in the back, my friend.
What are you talking about? What, do you think I said something to Sonny?
Go to the bow. I'm gonna stay in the stern. You go to the bow. Stay there. I'm so disgusted with you. You know that?
Yeah, you just said it.
Yeah. Just so you know.
Joe goes off, leaving Lefty on his own again. Joe sits in the bow, sipping his drink. Sonny joins him.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
That Trafficante's something else, boy, I'll tell you.
Is that right? The good old guy?
Now forget about it. He had this all to himself for 50 fucking years, and it's still a cow town. This could be like Vegas down here. Forget about Sonny Redden. His trucks in Jersey. This is all I want. Florida.
Tell you something, Sonny Red, freezing his nuts off right now.
That's for sure. All I need is the startup money from Rusty. Then we all get rich.
So what do you think, we're gonna head back to New York pretty soon or what?
Not you. I want you to represent me down here, Donnie. I want you to be my man in Florida. Get that club going. You know, King's Court.
Joe takes off his sunglasses and looks up at Sonny, who beams at him.
You didn't think I knew about that, did you?
He puts an arm around Joe.
I think I'm gonna send a lion down here with you. And keep that big pussy in the parking lot.
Yeah. You know, Sonny, I really appreciate it.
the offer and everything, but I got a lot of things going on in New York, and I'd like to keep...
You know, Lefty's a dynamite guy, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You know, he looked after me when I was in the can. And that's something that I don't forget. Something that I will never, ever forget.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's a stand-up guy. I mean, he really cares about you, too.
Yeah, I know he does, but, the problem is that, you know, you think that he's helping you, but he's hurting you. He gets those two or three wines in him. You know, Donnie, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Sonny, I don't want to be stepping on nobody's toes. I mean, if it wasn't for Left,
That's it. Look. You belong to me now. That's it.
Sonny wanders away. Joe replaces his sunglasses, picks up his drink, and gets up to rejoin the party.
Mr. Trafficante's leaving.
Sonny beckons Joe to follow him over to Mr. Trafficante.
Jesus Christ, they're killing me.
Sonny and Mr. Trafficante shake hands and kiss.
Santa, this is Donnie. He's a friend of ours.
Hi, Donnie. Nice to meet you.
As Joe's introduced to Trafficante's party, Lefty watches, his eyes filled with sorrow. At the Pistones, Carrie sits sulkily in her communion dress as Maggie bids farewell to the last of the guests.
Yeah. So listen, give our best to Joe, will you?
Yeah, I will. Snowden, can you believe him?
Yeah, right. His daughter's first communion and he gets stuck at an airport.
Yeah, that's for his own protection. I'll see you later, okay?
Bye-bye.
I hate flying.
I know you do. Be safe.
Maggie closes the door.
Oh, sweetheart.
In a smart dress and necklace, Maggie kneels down in front of her daughter.
Honey, your father is so proud of you.
Carrie blinks impassively.
I'm going upstairs.
She gets up and leaves, taking her teddy bear with her. Maggie stares after her, her eyes moistening with tears. At sunset, Joe tries to ring home from a public phone booth.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is unpublished at the subscriber's request.
He redials, his mouth tightening as he waits for a response.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is unpublished at the subscriber's request.
He slams the receiver down. Sonny, Lefty, Joe, and Richie reach the top of an escalator in an airport.
Hey, Lefty, get us checked in over there, will you?
As Lefty does as he's told, Sonny turns back to Joe.
Hey, Donnie.
Yeah.
Stick around, I'm going to get a paper.
All right.
Stopping to put down all the bags he's laden with, Richie spots two men approaching.
Jesus, Joe. That's Holman, U.S. attorney coming at us. The guy on the right. Christ, Joe, what are we going to do?
All right, why don't you just shut the fuck up and I'll take care of it.
Sonny returns. Joe turns his back as the two men pass by.
Hey, anything goes wrong down there, you have their people call your people in New York. You understand?
Yeah.
I don't want to come down here and iron anything out.
Hey, Joe?
I'm really fucking aggravated.
You got your plane tickets, Sonny?
Joe Pistone.
Get in the left.
Don't worry.
Who's
Joe Pistone? Remember me? Southern District.
Joe punches the man to the ground.
Hey, what are you doing?
Grab my cock.
Richie grabs him.
He's working. Shut up.
Fucking degenerate bastard. What a sick fuck. Grab my cock.
Listen, I want that club up and running. I don't care how long it takes. You understand me?
Got it.
Here comes a fucking cop. Get the hell out of here.
You're gonna have a safe trip. You got the tickets and everything?
There you go. Joe and Richie head off.
Now listen to me. Get on the phone. Get me on the next flight back. You understand? Don't call me Joe again. I'll cut your fucking throat. You understand? You piece of shit.
Carrying a case, Joe returns to his house. One of his daughters lies fast asleep in a top bunk. A shadow falls over her as Joe enters the bedroom and stands by her bedside, staring into the little girl's face. He then crouches down to Carrie, asleep in the lower bunk, and pulls up the bedclothes to cover her.
Hi, baby.
She blinks sleepily. Joe lays a hand on her arm.
Who made you?
God made me.
Why did God make you?
God made me to show his goodness to make me happy with him in heaven.
Where is God?
God is everywhere.
Joe nods tenderly. He plants a gentle kiss on her face.
Sweet dreams, Angel.
As he gets to his feet, he picks up a large floppy rag doll and lays it down on the bed of his third daughter before leaving the bedroom. In his own darkened bedroom, he sheds his brown leather jacket and sits down on the bed. Still wearing his diamond patterned shirt and keeping his back to his sleeping wife, he starts to take off his shoes. Maggie wakes up.
So?
He turns round. He flops forward onto his front, leaning over his wife, who doesn't turn to face him.
I want a divorce.
Joe and Maggie are in a marriage counselor's office.
You know, he comes home all hours of the night without announcing when or why, where he's been for the last 3 months.
Joe remains sullen.
And you know what he does? He rearranges the cabinets. He remakes the bed. He vacuums the entire house. Do you know another man that vacuums, huh? It's abnormal. Okay, it's abnormal behavior.
Oh, well, you know, changing a phone number and not telling your husband is pretty normal.
All right, I don't exist, you don't exist.
Okay, so now I know how it feels.
No, now I know how you feel. I'll tell you something, Joe, it felt good. Now I do know how it feels to be so in control. Now I know how it feels to be strong. You love control, don't you?
Please, Joe, just listen. Otherwise, you just play out the old pathology. Maggie, you were saying Joe leaves.
Yes, he leaves. He leaves me with the house and the kids and the bills, but not a husband.
Joe leans forward.
I want my husband.
The counselor puts on his glasses.
Joe, what do you think you're running from?
Joe glances across at his wife and shakes his head.
I'm running from that.
I run from nothing. You hear yourself? The man I married was a college man.
Being the distancer forces Maggie into the role of the pursuer. This gives you a feeling of power. Simultaneously, you resent Maggie for fulfilling her intimacy needs with...
I'm an undercover agent for the FBI, doctor.
You and your mafia faggots can go screw each other. I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Oh, boy. I really hope that you can help her out, because obviously she's very sick, and you can see that.
Oh, obviously.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm the sick one.
Okay. Now, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are Joe's intimacy days. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday are Maggie's. Now, on your day, you make an intimacy request. Rub my back, or, I have a problem with the kids. Could you help me out?
Returning to the car.
You know what? You sit around your safe little fucking house with your safe little fucking station wagon, your safe little friends. You dream up the next $100 head fuck. Will you rub my back? My fungal.
An animal, do you know that?
I'm just kidding.
An animal, do you know that, huh?
She shoves him.
You know what my entry request is for that guy? It's very intimate. You take that Billy's gonna send me, shove it up his ass.
You wanna know why we went to him? I was hoping he could come up with one good reason for me not to leave you, because I don't have one anymore.
Joe marches back round to Maggie in the driver's seat.
Wait, what? You gonna leave me? You gonna leave me, Maggie? You don't leave me.
Maggie just stares dead ahead. At home, Joe is on the phone.
Hello?
Hey, Annette.
Oh, Donnie. Oh.
What's the matter?
Donnie, where are you?
He looks around, thinking.
I'm in New York. I gotta come back. What?
Honey, it's Tommy.
What was going on? What happened?
Mom, can you give your sister some vegetables, please? Thank you. How are your fingers, sweetie?
Joe comes up the stairs as Maggie's feeding the kids. Their eyes meet for an instant. Then Joe turns to go.
We did fractions in the spring break today in class, you know?
Fractions?
Oh, I got my test back and I got a 95.
Lefty is standing outside a hospital ward where his son Tommy is on a respirator machine. Joe arrives.
Yo, what's going on,
Donnie, what are you doing? You belong in Florida.
Yeah, I know. I checked in with Annette and she said something.
Well, you called her from Florida?
No, I was up here. I had a few things to take care of, so
Donnie, you gotta go back. You gotta go back. Come on.
What happened to him? Is he gonna be all right?
Do I know? He They got 12 fucking diplomas on the wall. They can't tell you a fucking thing. Forget about it. Tommy gets out of this fucking Bellevue, he's going right back to fucking it.
Wait, do we overdose?
That ain't the question. Plastic pipe in his mouth. Got 5 million tubes. They got a machine breathing for him.
Well, where's the fucking doctor? You want me to go talk to this guy for you?
We gotta talk to the doctor. We gotta break his legs.
I'm saying, you want me to do something? I'm here, you know?
Yeah, I want you to go back down to Florida. You belong to Sonny now, Donnie. Believe me.
Look, I came here to be with you. I want to help you out. You're my man. I'm here for you.
I don't want you here, Donnie.
Joe's taken aback.
You and Tommy, you're both peas in a fucking pod. You don't listen. You've got your own ideas. You do what you want to do up on your high horses. Everything is a joke.
Noting Joe's hurt expression, Lefty sighs. Nurses come and go from the ward.
You go to LaGuardia and you get back. Get back to Florida. Get on the plane.
Come on, I think. Don't forget about it. Right?
Come on!
Lefty gives Joe a shove along the corridor.
Hey, look, I'm gonna stay here with you. You wanna kick the shit out of me? I'm gonna be right here. All right?
Casting defiant looks up at Lefty, Joe sits himself down on a chair. Lefty, shoulders hunched, his eyes haunted, also sits down a couple of chairs away from Joe.
28 years. You can read it on his birth certificate. Bellevue Hospital. Now he's back. In there. And I'm out here. Worried to my fucking death. And he's asleep in there. Same as 28 years ago. With the same expression.
He watches a passing nurse.
He's made no progress.
He ain't got no fucking respect.
My son.
Lefty's hooded eyes are filled with regret. Joe shifts uneasily.
His heart stopped. Like a watch. That's what the doctor said. Just like a watch. That'll wind it back up. Who knows? Maybe next time. They can't.
Lefty turns his face away from Joe, his head rocking slightly with his sobs. Joe watches, awkward, his eyes betraying his emotional conflict.
Hey.
Joe moves into the chair next to Lefty, who has his hand over his face.
He's gonna be alright. He'll be alright, love. He'll be alright.
Lefty looks across at Joe.
I love you, darling.
Lefty looks away dismally. He gets up and peers again into Tommy's ward. Joe remains seated, lolls his head wearily, fixes his gaze on the floor and nods slightly. Back in Florida, a crown-shaped neon sign advertises the souped-up King's Court nightclub. Standing at the door, Richie greets Sonny, Paulie, Nicky and Lefty, arriving for Las Vegas night.
Beautiful.
Look at it. Open and nice.
This place is a goddamn palace for Christ.
Lefty gapes gloomily as they make their way inside the transformed nightclub cum casino. The guys move through the throng, shaking hands as they go. Lefty and Richie bring up the rear.
Big times are fun.
Sonny is a fucking palace.
How you doing? How you doing? Having fun?
Lefty casts his eyes over the roulette wheel and crap table. Wine is drunk, cash is counted out, bets are placed and the takings land safely in the coffers. Lefty stands amid the crowds, a hunched, diminutive figure seemingly lost in a foreign land. Sonny leads the rest of the guys on and stops to admire the joint with an approving grin.
I like it big time.
In the kitchen, piles of banknotes are emptied onto the work surface next to the ingredients. Joe counts the cash into wads, which Sonny then places into a small bag.
Okay, Don.
This is the take. Put this bag someplace safe, yeah?
Joe carries the bag out to his car, stashing it in a secret compartment in the trunk. The lion paces around a cage in the car park. Joe's heading back to the club when a noise behind him stops him in his tracks.
Just turn real slow.
Three police officers surround him.
Is there a problem, officer? What's your name, boy?
Donnie Brasco, what's yours?
What are all you New York guineas doing down here?
Your missus invited us.
Joe thumped in the belly and shoved up against the car.
Gentlemen, we're running a charity event here. We have a permit.
You got a permit for the lion?
Inside, the guests and staff scatter as the police raid the club, overturning the gambling tables and smashing the glasses behind the bar with their batons. People stream out of the club to their cars. Two cops manhandle Sonny to a table and manacle his hands behind his back. He fights desperately to break free. The cops smash mirrors, bottles and lights and collect up the money in a box. The two officers holding Sonny struggle to restrain the hulking brute. Joe and Richie are handcuffed too.
Didn't ever think a penny's got off, did you?
Where the hell am I going to get the money to go bribing cops? Nobody authorized that.
As a cop frisks him, Lefty spits out his cigarette and flicks his tongue out angrily. Sonny finally falls still. Later, the six guys are in a police cell. Sonny uses the toilet in the corner and kicks the flush. He paces past Richie over to the grill window. Richie looks nervous.
You know how fucking embarrassed I am?
The old man's people down here? A year now, I gotta be in my house with the shades drawn.
Nicky, Paulie, and Lefty sit like guilty schoolboys. Sonny paces to Joe and slaps his shoulder.
Where's that bag?
I got it. I got everything.
Sonny shoots a look at Richie and moves back over to Nicky, Paulie, and Lefty.
It's Rusty's money.
Another accusing look from Sonny makes Richie squirm.
Sonny, I'm sorry.
Shut up. You shut up. Sit down. Shut the fuck up.
Richie sits down on the bench beside Nicky.
Like this, I gotta go back to New York. Make this right with Rusty. Face that cocksucker Sonny Red.
You know, I gotta say this. Usually, the cops are so fucking dumb, it takes them 3 months just to get wind something's going on. Then, they gotta go get a warrant, they gotta go do the pictures with it.
Surveillance.
They gotta surveillance. 3 months taking pictures, all this time, how do these cops know so much? You just open the fucking doors.
What are you saying?
There's gotta be a snitch here.
Paulie, Nicky, and Richie all look uneasy. Sonny studies their reactions, then glances over at Joe, who keeps his cool, his face expressionless. Sonny squats down beside Lefty.
All right. So, there's a snitch. You find him, you cut his prick off, leave it in his mouth, and leave him on the street.
Okay.
Sonny moves back to the window. Sonny Red's with Bruno and his two henchmen, talking on the phone to Mr. Trafficante.
You busted up good?
Yeah, we busted it up. He's out of business. You understand?
Yeah, go ahead,
that punk is finished down here. That's it.
That's great. I can't believe it. All right, look, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Give me some of that cheese.
Busted up the club.
Would you please take this taste out of my mouth?
There you go.
Now he has to answer for what happened. You gonna send for him? He sits down with us. Bing, bada boom, it's done. The whole fucking crew.
I'll dust off the guns.
On the plane back from Florida, Sonny sits beside Nicky. Lefty dozes next to Joe. Flicking through a Newsweek magazine, Joe finds a photo of the boat the left hand, with the caption, FBI shakes sting corrupt lawmakers. His eyes widen in panic. He glances over at Lefty, shuts the magazine and tucks it into the pocket in front of him. He sits back, trying to stay calm. Back in New York, Sonny gathers his whole crew in his headquarters.
Napkins and tablecloths, 500 scoot.
500 scoot. Down in Florida, it's 500 an hour.
You like it down there so much, why don't you go buy some oranges? What do you got there, bullfrog?
Dime on the bag. I'm doing the best I can, Sonny.
What do you got, Nicky?
I got a guy boosted 30 tickets to Chaka Khan at the Garden.
What about Florida?
I thought we weren't supposed to talk about Florida.
Nicky looks away, then back at Sonny.
So you never got nothing going on?
No. Nothing ever panned out for me, Sonny. I couldn't catch a break.
You never got nothing going on.
What did I just say?
Sonny!
Joe watches pensively. Sonny gets up. Standing behind Paulie, Sonny bends down and whispers in his ear, then crosses to the phone. Lefty gets up and puts his jacket on. Nicky, Paulie, and Joe do the same.
Paulie, I got a truckload of razor blades.
The fuck am I gonna do with razor blades?
Hey, you know how many razor blades fit in a truck?
I got a guy on the inside who works in a warehouse. Has the art collection at the shop I ran.
We'll sit down where? Yeah.
The guys keep their eyes on Sonny as he hangs up the phone and paces back, cigarette hanging off his bottom lip.
That was Sonny Red's guy. Wants to have a sit-down in Little Italy. I got sent for him.
Sonny tosses his cigarette down.
Sonny!
Joe joins the other three guys, following Sonny in the usual regimented line out of the joint, leaving the rest of the crew in ominous silence.
Paulie, we'll take your car. That cocksucker Sonny Red gonna rub my nose in Florida because of a fucking rat.
Forget about it.
Hey, Donnie, you right up front. You know what to do when you find that rat, right, Left?
Could be I found him already.
Joe pauses before climbing into the car. Sonny spits onto the ground and gets in too, and the car pulls off.
So where we headed, Sonny? Little Italy?
Our guy says they got a little stop to make first. You know what I mean?
The car appears over the summit of a hill and moves down a wide, tranquil residential street, an avenue of spindly trees rendered ghostly white in the moonlight. The headlights gleam on the tarmac as the car pulls up at the side of the street. Nicky sits between Lefty and Sonny in the back seat.
Let's go.
The guys clamber out of the car. Lefty, Sonny, and Nicky fetch some stuff from the trunk. Paulie glares across at Joe.
Where are you going? Wait in the car.
Joe clambers back into the front passenger seat. Paulie moves on, slams the trunk shut, and follows the others towards a large house. Joe slides across into the driver's seat. Watching out of the side window, Joe sees Nicky glance back at him. Joe rubs the back of his fingertips against his mouth, agitated. He waits in the car, glancing sporadically across at the house, listening to music to distract him. A black car arrives and pulls up outside the house. Sonny Red and his two henchmen climb out of the car and mount the steps up to the house.
All right, come on, come on. We still gotta get downtown. How long is this gonna take?
I got him in the drain in the laundry room.
With the 22s?
Bruno said you want the 9mm.
Yeah, meanwhile, where the fuck is he?
Yeah.
He's with some dog with more hair on the lip, and he's got on his head.
Well, he's your kid.
Don't remind me, come on. You think that's funny, huh? I don't think that's so funny, you know.
They enter the darkened house and go down to the cellar where the guys are waiting for them.
You don't want to listen.
I don't think that's funny.
The son should respect his father. Capisce?
Answer me. You think that's funny?
Ah, shit. The bulb is out. Watch your step, guys.
Big fucking surprise from a fucking spider. Yeah, nothing like a surprise Sonny Black is going to get.
Yeah, say that again.
Put one right here. He'll never know what hit him. That's too not.
You're goddamn
He's
right.
He's never going to know what hit him.
They turn the light on.
Jesus. Oh, no. Ah.
Sonny Black fires, hitting the bulkier henchman, Big Trin. Lefty shoots Sonny Red in the chest. Sonny Black and Lefty shoot the third man, spattering the light bulb with blood. As their victims writhe in agony, Sonny Black and Lefty reload. Nicky shoots Sonny Red in the leg.
Bruno!
Big Trin staggers towards Sonny Black, who shoots him in the stomach. Big Trin falls on top of him, pinning him to the floor. Lefty grabs a hammer off the wall and slams it into the back of Big Trin's neck. Nicky shoots Sonny Red in the face, spraying his own face with blood.
Okay, come on, come on! Get off! Sonny!
Get off of me!
Take my hand, take my hand!
Sonny rejects Nicky's help.
Jesus Christ.
And gets up.
Paulie. Go get Donnie.
Paulie goes off. The remaining three men catch their breath. Joe still sits in the car, The back door opens and Paulie climbs in. Paulie sits behind Joe, panting heavily. Joe waits nervously but doesn't turn round.
What's going on? Is everything all right?
What?
Is everything all right?
As Joe waits, Paulie leans forward and presses a gun against his neck.
Get out.
Joe stiffens. They climb out of the car and head towards the house, clouds of steam rising from their mouths. Paulie has streaks of blood across his face. He keeps the gun pointed at Joe's back. They walk round the side of the house and reach the entrance to the cellar. Joe hesitates and glances at Paulie.
Get down there.
Joe goes down.
The meek one inherit the earth, they're gonna have to get in fucking line.
Entering the cellar, Joe falters, staring in horror at the three blood-covered bodies. Lefty pulls a bundle of weapons out of a pipe.
What I found. Them are us.
Knives are laid out.
Nicky, you got big Trin.
Trin, I get a hernia.
Shut up, shut the fuck up. Donnie's gonna help you.
Paulie hands Joe a long straight knife with a serrated edge.
Come on, Donnie. Help me fillet this fat fuck.
Lefty points a gun at Nicky. And shoots him in the head. Nicky falls on top of Big Trin and Lefty shoots him again. Joe looks away but forces himself to look back as Lefty feels Nicky's neck and walks away satisfied.
All right, come on. Got work to do.
Joe kneels on the blood-drenched floor, sawing through Sonny Red's red leather boots. As he saws on through the leg, he grits his teeth and gags, sickened. Joe drives the car along a busy highway at night. Beside him in the front passenger seat, Lefty has his hand over his face. Joe stares ahead grimly, looks across at Lefty, then looks back at the road. Lefty's eyes start to flit back and forth as he gathers his thoughts.
There was a rat in Florida, Donnie.
Joe scowls over at him.
Nicky wasn't a rat.
We don't mention his name, all right? That's what we said. We don't mention his name.
Yeah. Tell yourself whatever you have to, Left.
I'm not telling myself. You was down there, you have eyes.
20 years you know a guy, you fucking whack him out. Just like that, over a lounge. That's beautiful.
The man held out. He held out on a coke deal.
And what does one thing have to do with the other?
He could have got whacked out just for that, for your information.
There wasn't a rat in Florida.
There was a rat.
There was not a rat in Florida. Richie fucked up paying off the cops.
I mean, Richie fucked up.
That's why the club got busted. Richie didn't pay off the fucking cops. Nicky didn't have anything to do with it.
Hey, you don't mention his name. That's the rules.
Oh, fuck the rules.
Hey, that's the rules, Donnie.
Joe stares ahead with dead eyes.
Say his name.
Come on.
Say his name. Come on. Nicky. Say Nicky. You can't say his name because you know that I'm fucking right. Say it! Say it! Say Nicky! Say his fucking name!
Nicky was a rat because Sonny Black says he was a rat.
Lefty blinks, lolling his head wearily to one side.
Who the fuck am I? Who am I? I'm a spoke on a wheel. And so is he. And so are you.
Lefty's restless gaze alights on Joe's feet.
Quit riding the fucking brake.
The two men just stare grimly ahead, their faces washed with the glow of the roadside illuminations, the reflection of the cat's eyes swimming over the windscreen. Lefty lowers his gaze into his lap, tilting his head to one side. Sad and pensive, Joe looks over at him. Sonny Black's crew are gathered on the corner outside their headquarters as Sonny's car arrives.
Boss! Boss, boss!
The car pulls up in front of them. Paulie, Lefty, Joe, and Sonny climb out. Lefty lays Sonny's coat round his shoulders. Grinning, Sonny moves through the crowd, receiving welcoming hugs and kisses from his admiring crew. At home, Maggie answers the door to find Agent Curley and Dean Blanford standing on the doorstep with ominous expressions.
Oh, God.
I know, everything's okay, Maggie.
Yeah? If everything's okay, what are you doing here, huh?
Mind if we come inside, Mrs. Bastone?
I'm not sure. That depends.
Standard procedure is that he is to check in with us every day. Now, maybe you might miss a day or two here or there, but...
It was 3 weeks ago.
I want you to tell me where my husband is.
The two men exchange a guilty look.
I demand right now that you tell me where my husband is.
We can't tell you because we don't know.
Now, if he gets in touch with you, you have got to try to talk some sense into him. Mrs. Bastone, please help us here.
You want me to help you out?
Yes.
You want me to help out the FBI that used my husband and sucked him dry? You don't care whether he's dead or alive, do you? You want him to follow procedure. Follow procedure so you can cover your asses.
Mrs. Bastone, there is a war going on in the Mafia family where Joe is undercover. Now three leaders of a rival faction have been murdered.
He's right in the line of fire, not because he's one of us, because he's one of them. Who he's with and who he's close to, they're all the top dogs now. It's just not a problem we anticipated.
We have got to pull him out, and you have got to talk to him. He'll listen to you.
You think so?
Maggie's cheeks are wet with tears.
He was here a week ago. He snuck into the house after I was asleep. And he didn't even wake me up, didn't even say hello to me. He came to get a sport coat.
Sonny and Lefty are conferring in an office. The two emerge from the office, Lefty grabbing his coat off a pool table as he makes for the door.
Hey, Don, let's take a walk.
Sonny sits down as Joe gets up and goes outside with Lefty.
Hey, Lef, what are we doing?
We're gonna walk and talk. You got too many eyes around here.
The two men stand in a rundown warehouse.
Here it is, Don. Sonny Red's kid, Bruno, has disappeared. Now, as long as he's on the loose, ain't none of us safe. Right?
Yeah. You got no idea where the guy is?
Well, he's got a nickel a day coke habit. He's gonna turn up somewhere. Anyway, we got the contract. Now, this thing gets done right. When the books open up, I'm proposing you for membership. You know what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
It means I can't fuck it up.
Hey, you read my mind, huh? Read my mind. You can't fuck it up.
Yeah, no, I won't fuck it up.
Lefty plants a kiss on Joe's left cheek.
You're gonna be a made guy, Donnie. Like I be.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, all right. Come on. Let's go back inside.
Lefty heads off, but Joe loiters.
Hey, Left.
Yeah, what?
Lefty stops and shrugs his shoulders.
Hey, what? I'm freezing here!
Joe starts to walk towards Lefty.
Hey, you know that boat used to have, that Bertram?
A boat?
Yeah, the boat. How much is it? A boat like that? How much? What do you think?
Well, you could get a sports fisherman for maybe 300 euros. Why are you asking me about boats, Tommy?
Huh? I was just wondering. I was curious, you know.
You're curious about boats?
Yeah.
It's 10 degrees out here. I'm freezing. You're asking me about boats. After what we just said. Hey, you losing your marbles on me or what?
Nah, I'm all right.
So don't ask questions like that. That's crazy, okay?
Yeah.
You hit this cocksucker and you leave him in the street. Come on.
In murky early morning half light, Joe's car speeds across a bridge, then drives past his house. Still wearing his leather jacket, Joe slips stealthily into his back garden, across the lawn to the patio. Looking all around him, he fishes some keys out of his pocket and, reaching the back door, slips them into the lock. He creeps into the darkened house, stands silhouetted in the doorway for an instant, then closes the door behind him. Upstairs, Joe reaches through a square hole in the ceiling into the loft space. As he stretches and rummages, Maggie appears at his feet in her nightdress.
You want to tell me what's going on?
No, go back to bed. I'm looking for something, all right? Be right in.
That's not going to work anymore.
He turns round and looks down at her.
Where is it?
There's $300,000 in that bag.
He steps down.
How do you know what's in that bag?
I counted it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You counted it?
Yeah.
Into the bedroom.
What do you mean you counted it? It's none of your business.
It's none of my business. It's in my house. Who would ever believe it wasn't my business, Joe?
I want that fucking bag, Maggie.
FBI men do not walk around with $300,000 in a bag. Joe, you could go to jail for this.
Oh, fuck up. Nobody's going to jail.
Nobody's going to jail. Did you think about your children for a second? Did you stop and think about
your
children?
You have no idea what you're talking about, first of all, because the bag belongs to somebody else.
What does it help?
What am I going to tell you? It's just some fucked up guy.
Fucked up guy? Fucked up guy needs $300,000?
Yeah, that's right. Now, where's the goddamn bag?
You're becoming like them, you know that?
Joe whips round. And slaps Maggie across the face. Holding a trembling hand to her cheek, she turns back to Joe, a look of horrified disbelief on her face. He holds her eye for an awkward moment, then turns back to the cupboard under the stairs. Still stunned, Maggie goes through to a storage room. She rummages around underneath the shelves amid piles of assorted clutter. She pulls out the bag of money and turns to face Joe as he enters the room.
Did you ever once ask yourself how I make it through my days? I pretend I'm a widow. With medals and scrapbooks. Memories. I pretend you're dead. That's how my life makes sense to me. Just go away. Stay away.
She drops the bag on the floor and goes to stand in the doorway beside Joe. He walks forward slowly and bends down to pick up the bag.
God, why do you hate me when I love you so much?
He stands stock still, his back to her, and bows his head slightly.
You think I hate you? I don't hate you.
He turns 90 degrees and stares at the shelves for an instant, then turns to face her fully.
This job is eating me alive. I can't breathe anymore. And if I come out, this guy Lefty dies. They're gonna kill him. Because he vouched for me. Because he stood up for me. I live with that every day. That's the same thing as if I put the bullet in his head myself, you understand?
He approaches her.
I spent all these years trying to be the good guy, you know, the man in a white fucking hat. For what? For nothing.
He stares at his wife, his eyes glazed with tears.
I'm not becoming like them, Maggie. I am them.
Maggie stands frozen and wide-eyed. She flinches as he walks round her to the doorway, where he stops, bowing his head for a long while. He steps up behind her and buries his face in her curly blonde hair, pressing his lips against her head. As Joe moves away, Maggie sways a little, as if weak without the support of his body. Now the blurred circles of car headlights sweep past a phone box where Joe's making a call. An FBI technician listens in to the conversation.
Lef. Donnie.
Donnie, where you been, Donnie?
Yeah. Look,
I gotta see you. You're right, you gotta see me. You found Sonny Red's kid.
Bruno?
Yeah. He's on a boat on Staten Island.
I'll pick you up.
No, we don't have time, Donnie. You meet me there.
Okay.
The technician scribbles a note, tears it off, and hands it to Agent Curley. Joe parks his red DeVille on a deserted quayside, turns off the headlights but keeps the engine running. Lefty emerges from the shadows, hurries over to the car, and climbs into the front passenger seat.
Bruno's here. He's down the end of the pier. We'll wait here a minute while he has his drink. Let him get a little sleepy. I'm getting a little sleepy myself.
How's his boat?
The boat?
Yeah.
Nice. I got a bot.
One thing I know is boats. I'd like to pop them, throw them in the water, take the fucking boat.
You know, you said a couple of times how, if you had that Bertram again, you'd drive down to the pier with a net. Just go. Remember you said that north, south, east, west, nobody ever find you?
No? That was before. I don't want to... Don't remind me about that now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that...
I don't want to think about that.
Do you mean it?
I mean it. Who am I, Rockefeller? I'm going to go buy a boat.
I'm saying what if, Lev?
What if?
What if... I mean, I got a couple of things going on the side there, a couple of jewel things. Maybe I could get that kind of money for you.
Cocking his head skeptically, Lefty regards Joe.
You're gonna find money for me to get a boat?
Maybe.
Yeah. Now, that would be real generous of you, Billy.
What if I could hand you a bag full of money right now? You know what I'm saying? You could leave this life. You said it yourself, Lef. You don't move up. Every day you're looking over your fucking shoulder. You don't know what's gonna happen.
Donnie, listen to me, Donnie.
There's no more bullshit.
Donnie.
You get out of this life, is what I'm saying, Lef.
I'm gonna show you something, Donnie.
What?
And I want you to look at it very carefully. And then I want you to think very carefully about what you say to me.
Lefty hands Joe the Newsweek article with a photo of the left hand.
That's a federal boat, Donnie.
Joe stares at the familiar headline, FBI shakes, sting corrupt lawmakers. He glances across to see a pistol in Lefty's tight grasp.
I really don't think that's the same boat.
That's the same boat. It's got the name on it. The left hand. It's like my name. That's that Abscam boat.
You think I knew that was a federal boat? You think I'm a fucking rat?
How many times I have you into my own house?
Twice a week at least.
Right? Yeah, there it is, at least. I cook for you.
Yeah?
If ever I had any money, I'd give you. I never had any money, but if ever I had $100 in my pocket, I'd give you 50, right?
Yeah, you did.
If you're a rat,
Lefty shakes his head and points the pistol emphatically at his own temple. Holding Joe's gaze, he lowers the gun.
If you're a rat, then I'm the biggest fucking mutt in the history of the mafia.
Even if this thing is a federal boat, Left. They scam all these other people, they didn't scam us. You know what I'm saying?
He points the gun at Joe.
We went, we had a great party, we walked away from it.
Lefty points the gun upwards.
How do you know? That we walked away from it.
Well, we're sitting here, right? So they tried to outsmart us, but we outsmarted them. We beat the agents.
Lefty stares at him, his eyes hooded under a furrowed brow.
You gotta believe me.
Lefty nods and gives Joe an affectionate slap on the cheek. Joe swallows. Lefty consults his watch.
Let's go do this work. Get this over with.
They climb out of the car and walk along a wooden jetty towards Bruno's moored boat.
To him back of the ear, by pushing a button. Bing, bing. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't freeze up. You wanna freeze up?
Nah.
A lot of guys freeze up.
Nah, I'll be all right.
Did I say you was a rat? I can't believe you brought that up.
Come on, forget about it, love.
I never said you was a rat. I'm your best friend.
Joe stops in his tracks.
Come on, let's go do this thing.
His gun poised, Lefty crouches stealthily by some metal bins and peeps round to see Bruno sitting watching the television in the cabin of his boat. Lefty reaches forward and pulls a power cable out of a socket. The television goes off. Lefty scuttles back behind Joe and cocks his gun, ready to cover him. Joe's poised for action, gun in his hand. Bruno emerges from the cabin and looks around him. Joe peers out, then looks back at Lefty, who nods. Joe ducks back, careful not to be seen, as Bruno starts up the steps to the jetty, clutching a crowbar.
Come on, Dan. Come on. Gotta do it. Done.
Bruno gets closer.
Come on, Dan.
the FBI agents advance, Lefty throws his gun behind him.
Don't say nothing! Don't say nothing!
As they hustle Joe away, they frisk Lefty.
Don't tell him nothing, man! Danny! Don't say nothing to him! You're all right!
Fuck you, it's not
you're all right, Danny!
I'm not coming out!
There'll be a mouthpiece here 24 hours, Dan! Hey, Danny, you're all right!
Shit, it's over, man!
Don't say nothing to him, Danny!
It's over, Joe.
Joe looks back at Lefty as he's frog-marched away by his fellow FBI agents. The writer produces a final report. Urgent, effective immediately. Operation Don Brasco terminated. Repeat, terminated. Curly and Dean Blanford swagger into Sonny's headquarters and confront Sonny and Paulie over the pool table. The agents throw down photos onto the faded green baize of Joe with his colleagues in FBI jackets and caps, Joe holding a duty medal in a box. Sonny picks one up and examines it. Lefty paces round behind them and picks up one of the photos himself.
You've known this guy as Donnie Brasco. That's not his real name. Truth is, he's been an FBI agent all along.
The photo of Joe with his FBI colleagues.
You can contact me here if you want to talk.
Dean throws his business card down on the table. Lefty studies a photo of Joe, right hand raised, being sworn in as an FBI agent. He drops it back down onto the table. As Dean and Curly wander out, Lefty picks up another photo and studies it. Joe, flanked by two fellow agents, displaying their medals. Paulie flings his cue down. Sonny hunches over the table. Lefty turns to look at the door. The guys emerge from the building and stand around on the corner, their eyes sweeping the rundown neighborhood. They watch a car pass by, Curly and Dean peering out at them from the side windows. As the guys stand around disconsolately, they're photographed from the upstairs of a nearby building.
Can you believe those fucking guys? There's no way Donnie's an agent.
It's a nice fucking bluff, huh?
That boat was a setup. They set the boat up. See, don't we think Donnie's a rat?
Lefty ponders.
Almost had me going. If you didn't know Donnie.
Another photo's taken.
Right. You didn't know Donnie.
Paulie opens the door to head back inside, loitering in the doorway as Lefty and Sonny amble back towards him, lethargic and defeated. Sonny chucks his cigarette onto the pavement, and they're snapped through the grubby upper-story window. Back home, Lefty, dressed in a suit, is watching another wildlife documentary on television.
Hyenas kill many young cheetahs. And more than one could overpower the mother and turn on the cubs.
Lefty sits crumpled in his chair, cigarette in his hand. He turns off the TV with the remote and picks up the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah.
He replaces the receiver and takes a weary drag on his cigarette as Annette appears, drying her hair.
Was that for me?
No. It was a guy I gotta go see.
So late?
Hey, what am I gonna do?
He gets up.
Who knows with these people? Mm-hmm. Annette, don't wait up for me tonight.
No?
All right, nah, I don't know how long I wanna be. Now listen to me.
He fetches his coat from the closet and puts it on.
If Donnie calls, tell him. Tell him, if there's gonna be anyone, I'm glad it was him. All right? Look how beautiful you look. Goodbye.
Bye, Ben.
Lefty heads for the door. Annette returns to the bathroom, hovering briefly in the doorway to look back, concerned. Lefty waits by the front door, straightening his coat and tie, but then moves into the living room, glancing furtively into the hallway. He opens a small drawer and places his watch and ring into it. He empties his pockets, adding his gold lighter and keys to the belongings in the drawer. Lefty works quickly and systematically. Some banknotes and his wallet join the collection in the drawer. He then loosens his tie, takes off his necklace and kisses it before putting it into the drawer too. He shuts the drawer, pats his thick black hair, half opens the drawer again, then takes a cautious glance into the hallway before advancing. Reaching the front door again, Lefty pauses to straighten his tie and coat, put on his tinted glasses, and take a last look round his apartment before leaving. The screen goes black. Wearing safety goggles and an FBI t-shirt, Joe is doing target practice. Using a two-handed grip, his steady aim hits the centre of the cardboard human target's chest with every shot. His face grave, eyes serious, he lowers his gun and removes his goggles, staring at the target as it slides along the rail towards him. Dean leads Joe and Maggie into a wood-panelled room.
Excuse me, Mrs. Postel.
Curly sits Maggie in a chair beside her daughters, while Dean leads Joe up to a podium where the FBI director stands.
To Special Agent Joseph... Joseph D. Pistone, in grateful recognition for meritorious service, allow me to present you with this medal and this check for $500.
Hold the check up.
A photo's taken.
Congratulations again, son.
Congratulations, Joe.
Ma'am, just take the terrible.
I will.
The FBI officials file out past Maggie and her daughters, a regimented line of men in respectable suits. Joe stares after them, then looks down at the check. He opens up the small box to reveal an attractive gold-coloured round medal on a red, white and blue striped ribbon. He gazes down at it. Maggie and the kids watch him. Joe shuts the box and turns away to stare out of the window, a rectangle of hazy white light, the corners of his mouth curved down in bitter contemplation.
Joe. It's over. Come on, honey, come home.
The film ends with Joe Pistone's eyes, dark and filled with regret. A caption reads, "The evidence collected by Donnie Brasco led to over 200 indictments and over 100 convictions. Special Agent Joseph Pistone lives with his wife under an assumed name in an undisclosed location. There is still a $500,000 open contract on his head. ITFC audio description was by Adam English.